Kristen Nelson reporting from South Africa. I'm here today with Salim Vali from the Palestinian Solidarity Committee in South Africa. Next Wednesday, Ariel Sharon's Deputy Prime Minister Ehud Olmert will be coming to South Africa on an official state visit. So we're here to talk with Salim and hear about the actions that are going to be taking place in South Africa. Could you tell us a little bit about this visit and about some of the actions that are planned for tomorrow, specifically some of your concerns with this particular visit?
Well, internationally, there have been calls for the isolation of the State of Israel, to treat it as it should be treated, as a pariah state, in the same way apartheid South Africa was treated throughout the world. There are calls for sanctions and a boycott campaign, and just very recently, the Presbyterian Church, their council, took a decision to isolate apartheid Israel. Similarly, the Anglican Justice and Network Committee took a similar decision. And at a gathering of hundreds of anti-war and anti-corporate globalization groups in Beirut a few weeks ago, a resolution was passed to encourage and pursue the boycott campaign in the same way the campaign was articulated around the world against apartheid South Africa. So for us in South Africa, who have lived through apartheid, who have benefited from this kind of international solidarity, we think it is vital for us to be in the lead to support the call to isolate Israel. And it is therefore with shock and embarrassment that we find our own government, which benefited from this international solidarity, in fact acting like scabs during a strike, breaking this call. They will be hosting the Deputy Prime Minister of Israel, Sharon's right-hand man, somebody who was a mayor in Jerusalem in the past, who advocated ethnic cleansing of Palestinians from Jerusalem. And he is coming with an entourage of 23 people in order to sign an investment protection treaty with our trade ministry. And it's something that we find unconscionable and something that civil society and the masses of South Africa are opposed to. And we think our government is not speaking to the mandate they have received. And hence, we will be having demonstrations in all the major centers of our country tomorrow morning, and we will be handing over memorandums, a memorandum, in fact, that has been signed by hundreds of grassroots Palestinian organizations, as well as solidarity groups from Canada and elsewhere, supporting our call to boycott Israel.
Could you tell us something briefly about the historical relationship between South Africa and Israel and give us a bit of context about this bilateral connection?
Well, we will never forget that when the world said that apartheid is a crime against humanity, the State of Israel happily cemented trade, cultural, military, as well as nuclear links with the white minority regime. The nuclear connection is very important, and recently Mordechai Vanunu, the Israeli nuclear technician, was released after so many years in prison. And right at the time when he was arrested, it was quite clear about this connection. So the people of South Africa feel very strongly about this. Israel was one of those countries, like Pinochet's Chile and other unsavory military dictatorships, that gave South Africa the sustenance it needed at that time, and it prolonged the apartheid regime. Today, and even yesterday, we know that Israel, which is the highest recipient of U.S. support, is globalization's watchdog. You know, in the 70s, they supplied the military dictatorships of El Salvador, Guatemala, Nicaragua, and other countries with the military hardware that the U.S. didn't want to be seen supplying openly. And this was even before the Contra scandal. They have strong links with the military in Turkey, a military that has suppressed the trade unions, that has suppressed the aspirations of the Kurdish people. So this is the Israel we are talking about. Israel is vital for imperialism and for empire. So many of us in social movements in South Africa today, the same people who fought against the apartheid regime on the ground, understand this and understand that Israel is playing the same role that South Africa played yesterday.
Given your intimate knowledge of both contexts, how similar are the circumstances in contemporary Palestine and those of apartheid South Africa? Is it a useful analogy to make?
Well, we certainly think it is a useful analogy, and it's not just from a propagandistic point of view. Our analysis of the Israeli state, their role under globalization, and their policies internally, so it's an understanding which says that the Israeli state rests on overt repression that we all know about, the kind of repression that occurs under military dictatorships, the oppression of Palestinians under occupation. It also relies on a system of structural violence, on racism, on denying people basic human rights, democratic rights, and denying them their dignity. It also relies on institutionalized discrimination that dehumanizes one group to the advantage of another. And Israel has developed an elaborate system of racial discrimination which is embedded in its legal system, which in fact many of us believe even surpasses apartheid's South Africa's laws. If I can just explain, in South Africa we had overtly racist laws targeted at people because of the color of their skin. In Israel, you have laws such as the law of entry, the law of return, citizenship law, legally sanctions discriminatory rabbinical rulings, and you have the military service law. So it's not directed at people because of the color of their skin, but the consequences of these laws mean that Palestinians are denied various welfare benefits, access to jobs, leasing of homes and lands. Many Palestinian villages, even in so-called Israel, within the 48 borders, are denied basic services like electricity, sewerage, roads. If you don't serve in the military, then you don't get many welfare benefits, and Palestinians obviously don't serve in the military. Palestinians have to have cars with different number plates. There's a system which is akin to the past system. There is discrimination on the basis of education, and therefore we say it is an apartheid state. And the building of this apartheid wall, the term apartheid wall is a term that Palestinians have come up with, a wall that segregates Palestinians from each other as well as Palestinians from others. So for us, there is a reason why we believe that calling Israel an apartheid state is not just a rhetorical flourish. It is based on an analysis of the Israeli state, of the ideology that fuels what the state does, as well as the structural and legal laws that exist in Israel.
South Africa's state with regards to Israel and Palestine is quite clear. Official policy calls for, quote, a just, equitable, and comprehensive peace process in the Middle East and an end to illegal occupation of land that has led to conflict and violence between peoples of the region, end quote. Does the government's hosting of Israeli politicians necessarily contradict with this position? And has their stance changed in the last few months? Are relations coming closer? And if so, why?
I think it's important for us to understand that we cannot separate solidarity with the Palestinians in struggle from our analysis of how neoliberal corporate globalization works. South Africa has a constitution which is lauded internationally, a constitution which calls for unleashing the potential of the citizens of South Africa. It calls for access to health care, education, that this is a human right, a Bill of Rights which people believe is the best in the world. But there is a contradiction here. And because our government has adopted the neoliberal perspective and the neoliberal trajectory, it has had all kinds of consequences, including consequences for its foreign policy. Today, our government believes that it's the market that will result in people being uplifted from the state they're in. Remember, South Africa is one of the most unequal countries in the world, where poverty, in fact, is increasing. And most statistics, including government statistics, shows that this is true. And they believe that it's only through investment from abroad, and it's through the global market that we can change the living conditions of our people, create unemployment. And this is a flawed logic. It's the neoliberal logic. It's the trickle-down logic. It's Reaganomics and Thatcherism that has become the new orthodoxy around the world. And the market is God now. It's the new religion. And therefore, we need to see the strip as framed by that logic, where solidarity and the kind of relations that existed in the fight against apartheid, where members of our government were very close to members of the PLO, and particularly Fatah in the PLO and Yasser Arafat, sees fit to entertain the person who holds the trade portfolio in the Israeli cabinet. And it is this logic that circumvents and supersedes the view of human solidarity, because that has no place in the logic of neoliberalism and corporate globalization.
On the other hand, why exactly, in your opinion, is Israel interested in closer ties with South Africa? Is it at all related to South Africa's influence as what some people have referred to as a sub-imperial power within Africa?
Yes, I think, in a very calculated way, that is one of the issues. Israel is an important player under globalization. In the region, it is seen as the region's policeman, but it's also basically situating itself in various economic sectors, in the electronic sector, the security sector, in diamond beneficiation, etc. South Africa is a sub-imperialist country. It's seen as a launching pad into the African hinterland. And our own policy that we promote in our country domestically, the GEAR policy, which is a homegrown structural adjustment policy, has been writ large now in the African continent. It's called NEPAD. It's the same policy which our government has been promoting. And South African business, local business, is penetrating the African market throughout the continent and is being used by transnational corporations to do the same. So, yes, South Africa is vital beyond its own borders and its own market. That's the one issue, and you're right. The second issue is, I think, just as important. People around the world have taken their inspiration from our struggle against apartheid. People see the links between apartheid South Africa and apartheid Israel. It's a way of really undercutting that link and undermining it. And it's a huge propaganda coup for Israel if they can get it right. By the way, we don't think they will succeed. We think our government have miscalculated. They don't understand the level of support Palestinian people have in our country. And when civil society, social movements understand this, they will see it as a betrayal, and it will come to haunt this government, which continues, by the way, rhetorically, to say they support the national aspirations of the Palestinian people.
And what is the role of South Africa on the world stage? Do ANC politicians have a special role to play with regards to resolving the conflict in the Middle East or anywhere else in the world for that matter?
Well, I think that they do have an important role to play. They did play a role during the hearings of the International Court of Justice against the apartheid wall in Palestine. And we laud that. We support that. But I think that South Africa tries to have it both ways. Sometimes they talk left and they act right internationally. If you look at our finance minister's role in the IMF and World Bank, you can see this, and I think it's important for people internationally to understand these contradictions and not to be too disappointed when our South African government takes positions which is contrary to the interests of the poor, of marginalized, of people around the world, because they need to speak to, and they have by their action shown, that their real interests as the government lies with the interests of big business in South Africa and elsewhere. You know, there's a very easy transition made by a whole legion of politicians to big business in our country. It's almost a career path. George Bush, when he came to South Africa a few months ago, addressed Mbeki as his point man in Africa. And Mbeki, I don't think, understood the depth of this insult. And he was beaming when George Bush said this. So South Africa is trying, on the one hand, to mildly criticize the foreign policy of the Bush administration, but at the same time wants American big business to invest in our country because they mistakenly see this as a way of getting development. They have also taken a stand against groups like Jubilee for reparations for the court cases that are presently going on in the States through the Kulumani Group and Jubilee against major American-based transnationals. And our government has written to the court condemning the actions brought by South African social movements. So it's quite clearly the interests of our government lies with the interests of big business internationally and not with those around the world who suffer as a result of the actions of big business.
Do South Africans have a strong solidarity with the people of Palestine? And are you expecting big turnout for tomorrow's demonstrations? And also, what exactly are you calling for with these demonstrations?
Well, firstly, the visit of the Deputy Prime Minister of Israel comes in the wake of the South African government hosting 10 senior Likud members a few weeks ago. This was completely kept under wraps. We were only informed when they were here already. The media was not informed. This goes completely contrary to our principles of democracy and transparency and openness. And similarly, with this particular trip, we were informed just about a week ago that he would be coming. And this we gleaned from some information we had. So we've had very little time to prepare. We don't have many resources as a solidarity group, but we are still hoping that there will be significant numbers who will come to the demonstration. We will also have follow-up discussions with social movements, the new social movements, the Anti-Privatization Forum, the Landless People's Movement, the Anti-Eviction Campaign, are groups which have been formed recently, which have captured the imagination of the poor and marginalized in our country, and they have been our foremost supporters. We've been inundated with calls from many townships for people who want to come to the demonstration but don't have transport money. We still have the apartheid geography, and our public transport system is absolutely horrendous. These are not excuses, but just to say that the people who come to the demonstration tomorrow will not be a reflection, perhaps, of the wide support the Palestine Solidarity Movement does enjoy. On occasion, we've had tens of thousands of people on the street against the invasion of Iraq, for example, which we organize. But still, we are hoping to get significant numbers. And our demands, basically, are for the government to cancel the trip of Ehud Olmert, to break trade links with Israel, to treat it in the same way we ask the world to treat apartheid South Africa.
Thank you very much for your time.